Heaven to know we should put our hands together again for that. Because water baptism creates an atmosphere of celebration. It's really a moving moment, not only for the water baptism candidates, but also for the entire congregation and its witnesses. It was designed to inspire. Because when we see lives changed and impacted by God, we should all know that we had a part in that possibly. And whether we did or not, we should celebrate with those that are being water baptized today. I remind us, you can write this down, in Romans chapter 12, I'm just going to quote this, the part of this verse in verse 15. It says, we're to rejoice with those that rejoice. And how many know today there is a reason to rejoice? Because each and every person that's about to be water baptized, they have previously given their hearts to Jesus Christ. They're saying they're following Him, and in that is a big deal. Because just like we sang earlier, just so that you know, hell lost another one, and they are free. Praise God. That's what God wants to do in the hearts of each and every person. In our faith, all of us today, you know, there's a handful of excited people, and we're going to be our cheerleading squad to cheer those that are going to be water baptized today. But really, our faith, all of our faith today is all of us as believers, we are in a spiritual journey with Christ and with others. And salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. What we need to understand, when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, that's a moment in time that we give Him our hearts. He comes to live on the inside of us. And from even though that's the beginning, that's not the end. That's just the beginning of our spiritual journey. And our journey consists of so much more, which is called discipleship. Amen. And water baptism is important because it's part of our fellowship or our discipleship in the Lord. And so, you know, the truth is, I can think of the many years ago when I was water baptized. And you know what? I still remember that. Like many of you in here today remember when you were water baptized. How many remember when you were water baptized? It's an unforgettable day, an unforgettable moment, and we want that to be for each and every person today. We want them to feel our excitement. We want them to feel that we're behind them today, because we are. Because right now, this is not just about us, it's about them. But it's not just about them, it is about you. And in just one moment, you're going to see how that plays it apart. And what we learn today about water baptism only strengthens us and lets us know why we're here together as a church as well. And so, water baptisms are full of purpose and meaning. It's a day of public declaration of believers' faith in Jesus Christ, and even them and their personal testimony. Revelation, write it down, 12:11 says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How many know that water baptism is part of that public testimony? To say, I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus is my Lord, and this is just an outward symbol of something that's already happened in my heart, but I'm declaring publicly that Jesus is my Lord. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I have chosen to follow Him. And because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but not just the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of our testimony, we publicly confess and declare, like I believe we're going to hear some testify today. Not all will probably, but all can testify beyond Jesus is my Lord and share powerful things that God has done for their lives. It is really a win when we do water baptism services, not just for the individual, but for everyone. Because many times we find out this, how lives are touched and changed by others. Many times we hear how people come to Christ, and the truth is, those that are many times seated in the congregation are the ones that brought them to Christ or brought them to a place like this where they could hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ. How others played a part in their lives coming to Christ and being changed by Jesus Christ, and how many times someone that's seated next to them, a family member, a loved one, or part of this church played an important part of them coming to Christ. And how many know that's important? Because we should all be a testimony of God's saving power and grace. We shouldn't be undercover Christians where no one knows that we ever have made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. We should be at the expense of calling it be criticized. We should be on the edge for Jesus in a good way, that openly and publicly people know where we stand for Jesus Christ. And that's the way we should live. Not just, listen, in word and in action, praise God. And the good news is that's the way many, many of you are in this place. And as your pastor, I thank you for living that way. Think about this. Water baptism reminds us of the value and the importance of both evangelism and discipleship, and how it really is a win for everyone when a life is changed for eternity. Let me tell you something. When a person comes to Christ, it isn't all the pastor or the person that actually prays with that person. How many know that our prayers precede it all? How many know it may be the smile, the handshake, the loving welcome that all played a part in preparing the heart of a person so they could hear the gospel and receive it, so that the powers of darkness that have blinded their minds come off and they hear and see something that's real for the very first time, or for the 1,000th time, that they finally surrender and give their heart to Jesus Christ. And so it is so important today. And this is why that I briefly, before we water baptize the candidates, I always take a moment and teach some things about water baptism. Because what I don't want is I don't want it not to be not only exciting for them, I want us to remind us why it should be exciting to us. Because this is showing that both evangelism and discipleship is occurring in this church. And how we understand that it's still Christ's assignment of the church's mission to fulfill. And with that being said, let's be reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, unless we did not know. And Jesus came and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then in verse 19, he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." He goes on and says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." How many know teaching them all things I've commanded you? Part of that command is to water baptize those that have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that come to Christ. Part of that discipleship is them being water baptized. Amen. And we need to understand how important that is. And so today what I want to do is take a few moments again before we water baptize all the candidates, so that they not only know, like the class that they just had, how important this is, what is required in that, but also we are reminded as a church. And you may say, "Well, Pastor Chris, I was water baptized years ago. Why is that a big deal to me?" Because it's always a big deal if you're in Christ. And we need to be reminded of its power, what it speaks of. It's not something that has been done. It's something that we should realize it symbolizes something real, living, and lasting until we get to the other side. That what we do on this side determines how we live on the other side, either in heaven or in hell. And it's our job to populate heaven and plunder hell. Praise God. And so notice here that Jesus said, teaching them to deserve all things, teaching them to observe or to obey all things that are commanded you. Part of that is in their fellowship would be water baptism. So today, I just want to show you seven things that water baptism is. So if you're taking notes, you can just call it water baptism is. I'm going to describe what it is, and in describing what it is, I'm not saying I'm doing an all-inclusive, but I'm giving you enough today very quickly to know what it is, its importance, its purpose. And in the world that we live in, I think it's important that as a church, that not only we understand what it is, but in describing what it is, you're going to find out what it isn't. Because I can't tell you how many times I meet people. I meet people all the time. Pastor Debbie and I do. And we witness and share. And many times, the first thing that people will say is, if you ask them about their personal commitment to Christ, have they ever made Jesus the Lord of their life? Or are you born again? Are you saved? Their response is, I've been water baptized. Well, I have to proceed from there and let them know that water baptism is right about what, like you're just going to find out. But water baptism can't save you. It wasn't designed to. So let's talk about, we'll get there in just a moment, what it is. We'll also find out what it isn't and what it can't do. So number one, water baptism is a direct command of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and is for believers only. Now, we find that in the verses that we just read. I'm going to say it again. It's a direct command. This is something that Jesus commanded his believers to do. Those that accepted him, he said, follow me in water baptism. And notice, it is a command for believers to obey. Number two, water baptism is an outward demonstration and public declaration of one's already personal faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It is, once again, I'll say it this way, an outward demonstration, a public declaration that Jesus is my Lord. I'm publicly saying and declaring that He is. I'm just doing it a different way. Number three, water baptism is an outward symbol of an inward covenant or commitment one makes in response to Jesus' offer of salvation and them having received it already. Praise God. And so, in other words, Jesus offered, God through the Son, His Son Jesus Christ offered us salvation. The moment we call on Jesus and are saved, when our fellowship of Jesus continues, part of that fellowship is called discipleship, and part of that is obeying everything He commanded us to do, and that would include water baptism. Amen. And so it's important that we do this, and we should applaud those that are today, because they're taking a step in their spiritual journey. This is why some of you have come to see this. It is meaningful. It is purposeful. And you to be here, you're standing with them and hopefully understanding the commitment they're making and how important it is. And you're there to help enforce that, push that on, encourage them to continue in their walk in service to God. Water baptism is, number four, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, a symbol of salvation, but only a symbol. Water baptism symbolizes salvation, but can't or doesn't save you. It symbolizes something you already possess, your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. How many know that's how you are saved? Through your faith in Jesus Christ. Not just by getting wet. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Everybody, I'm holding up my hand here. I don't know if you can see it or not, but I got a wedding band on my hand. Just as this ring I wear symbolizes my marriage, my union, and my commitment to my wife, the ring alone doesn't give me that union. It just symbolizes that union I already have. I put the ring on, come on, to tell, to show that something's already happened. I'm already married. In the same way, water baptism doesn't save you, but rather is you in an open declaration of what you already possess by your union with Christ, salvation. Praise God. Because you know what? Anybody can wear a ring, but just because you put this on don't mean you're married. And no more than a person getting wet would automatically make them a believer in Jesus Christ. No, it's what you do before in your heart. This is an outward symbol of what's already transpired in our heart. But we applaud this because Jesus said this is showing openly, boldly. It's another step of declaration of your faith before God in the whole world. And as the church should hold one another accountable, you are saying that you are following Christ. It is a big deal. And this is why, you know, we have in this children as well as adults, many times, many children, but we make sure that whether it's children or adults, they really know that they have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Once again, I hear people say, they'll tell me, well, you know, I remember when I was water baptized. Well, I remember when I was water baptized as a child as well, but I was still lost because I had never made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I have to go back and explain to them, as important as water baptism is, I'm not asking you if you've been water baptized. I'm asking you. I'm not downplaying that. Listen, we're celebrating that today. But I'm telling you, in the world that we live in, we must understand what it means. Because there's a whole generation that people that really believe that they're comfortable in Christ because they've been water baptized. But the real question is, have you been born again? And once you're born again, you should be water baptized. And this should mean something to you, because now, once He's in your heart, you have power to live because you understand what that union has done for you. Number five, water baptism is a symbol of the Christian's union and identification with Christ in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It teaches us that the believer has died with Christ to their sins, and sin no longer has power over them. I mean, to know that would be good news. He died for our sin. Jesus died for our sin so that we die to our sin. And that they also have been raised up together or resurrected with Him to walk in newness of life. It means the old life is gone and the new life has begun. This is what that symbolizes. And we need to understand that. That person understands that when they get in that water, when they're dunked, they were identified with Christ in His death. He died for their sin so they could die to their sin. It was buried and put away so that their past is gone, so they could have a bright future. And that future is recognized when they come up out of that water as Christ was raised again from the grave and from the dead, so we too can be raised and walk in newness of life. It's all symbolic of what Christ paid for us so that we could walk in Christ's victory for us. Hallelujah. A great verse for this is Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Let's read there really quick. It says this: therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Come on, we need to have a better understanding of what this really is. That when we come in, we don't go down a wet sinner and come back the same way. We go down is represent that we died to our old life, and Christ took those sins and buried them. We were, as Galatians 2:20 said, we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we yet live, yet not us, but Christ lives within us. And the life we now live in this flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself up for us. In other words, not only did he die for our sin and put it away, but by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. And when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, so too we are raised from our old life. The old life is gone, and the new resurrected life of Christ is now within us. This is not hypothetical. This is not just, this is a reality of those that understand what this is teaching us. And by understanding it, we live that out. Come on, can I get an amen? I got two more. Water baptism is, number six, is a means to personalize your faith in Christ. You are publicly saying, He, Christ, have saved you, and He is your Lord and Savior. That's what you're saying. You're saying it to the world. Number seven, last but not least, water baptism is one's vow as a believer to follow Christ and to be His disciple. This is why this is a big deal. This is why, listen, you may do it with your friend, but it shouldn't be for your friend. Come on, it should be for your obedience to Jesus Christ. And you understand how big of a deal this is, because you are making a vow before God, before people, and for the church, that you are to follow Christ and you are to be a disciple. Now, what these are seven valuable spiritual truths that water baptism communicates. I wanted to share them with us today because they are important. And water baptism serves as a step of obedience in the believer's journey with Christ. This is why we have it several times a year, because it is a step in that journey with Christ. It's not necessary for salvation. It is a testimony that you have been saved. And you should want to follow Christ in this, because it's His a command to obey. Praise God. So now, before we baptize the candidates, Betsy, would you just come and help me for a moment? But before we baptize the candidates, let the things I have shared today, these seven points and the other things that we've shared, serve for a time of personal reflection. And what each of us ought to do with what we have heard. I don't want anyone to leave without personal application. But yet, I know how our minds work. We can tune out and we can say, oh, it's all for them. I wish I came another Sunday when Pastor was preaching a message that's about me. Let me tell you something. This is everything about you. This is everything about you. This ain't just about the water baptism candidates. It's showing you what Christ has done for you and the meaning and the power of this. You say, well, I did that in 1949, Pastor Chris, and I've never really thought about it again. That's your problem, because until you understand your identification with Christ and actually what it means to you, that gives you power not only to say no to sin in your past, because that's what people deal with all the time, the condemnation of the past, but if you understand what He died for and how you actually are saying, I died with Him, and no longer does that have power over me. Not only did I die to it, but as He was raised again from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, Ephesians 2:6 tells us we are seated there with Him in authority and dominion over those things that we were once bound by. We are now free from, all because of Christ. And when we understand that, then we can live in that brand new way. Can I get amen? So this is why I'm saying this is a time of, yes, it is for the candidates. And we're going to celebrate what God has done. Hopefully we're going to even hear some personal testimonies today from them. But here's what I want to, ultimately, what I've shared to produce is a time of reflection for all of us. And that means, what am I to do personally? Each of us, think about it. What are each of us to do with what we just heard? Well, certainly for every believer, this serves as a reminder of everything I've just talked about, but really it serves as a reminder to obey everything Jesus commanded us to do in following Him. Not just water baptism. So we may have been water baptized like myself 30 some years ago. But you know what? This has reminded me by the words of Jesus that I'm to still daily obey Him in everything. Not just water baptism, in everything that's commanded me. It should serve as that for us. Amen. And then lastly, here's what it should do. It's an examination of, it causes us to have an examination, at least I hope it does, of our real spiritual condition. Think about it. Our real spiritual condition. What is it? And it should cause us to have a self-examination. And when I say a self-examination, I want you to know here today that the Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is moving. He's alive. And He is working to not condemn us, but to reveal to us where we really are. Because God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And the truth is, when we many times examine our true spiritual condition, we find, if we find ourselves lacking or wanting, let me just tell you something, I would rather be found lacking or wanting now than when I took my last breath and then there's no more opportunity. You know, I can't, and I don't want to ever imagine how it would feel for a person, because one second after a person dies, they know that both heaven and hell are real. Whether they ever believed it or not, have they ever reasoned it away or allowed other people and their own reason to reason it away in their own lives for whatever reason? Whether they didn't want to be accountable to God, they didn't want to think about it for whatever reason, it doesn't make any difference. One second after a person breathes their last breath, they will know that either they believed a lie or they believed the truth, because they will see the reality that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I can't imagine how it would feel, and I don't have to, but I have compassion. And this is why I talk about these things, not to condemn people, but to say, it's too late on that side. You know, I think about a couple years ago, Pastor Debbie and I, we went on a vacation and we were going down the road. And I-64 a good ways from home. And Pastor Debbie looks at me and says, "You know what? We left such and such back at home." And I said, "Do what? Do what? We got to have that. We got to have that. I mean, that's part of that big. We got to have that." And so I had a marvelous opportunity to pass up blaming her. I don't know if I initially passed the test. I probably didn't. But we could say like this. We all, you know, we had a marvelous opportunity of a tense a Christian fellowship at that moment. Praise the Lord. And after I realized that it wasn't there, I hit the next exit and we turned around. And we both repented to each other for she did, because we had to close the door to the devil. I mean, we won't yelling and cursing, and we never do any of that. But But you can still blame one another. How could you forgot love? I load everything. Come on, all I ask you to do is bring it to the door and I load it up. Come on, how many times have we ever gone through this, the checklist, and how many know about that time that don't work too good? Praise the Lord. So after you repent as a man to your wife and to God, we both got that straight. We prayed. And I want you to know, we turned around, and I can tell you this is the God's honest truth. We both sensed such peace, because you know, in the summertime on 64, the traffic is horrendous sometimes, and we left early, so we missed the traffic. And so we prayed, And you know what? I can tell you, it seemed like it was no time that we're back home. We got that one bag with all that stuff in it, and we got back in. And I'm telling you, it was like God translated us almost. I know he didn't, but it was almost like that. We were beyond where we were and looked at each other and said, God did that. And look, the traffic is even lighter than it was before. And we had a wonderful vacation. Now, we clap about that because listen, of a simple thing that even though we forgot something, we were able to go back and get it. What I want to warn you today is once you die, you can't make a U-turn and come back and get it. Today, I'm letting you know that God not only loves you, but you're not the first person that has this quest, this spiritual journey, and wonder how they can be right with God. And I make this really quick, but this is the most important part. Job chapter 9, verse 2, Job asked this question. He said, but how can a man be right with God? And that question is still asked in the hearts of many people. Many people never voice that to others, unfortunately, but they have that question. And many too, people do, but people don't have the right answer. You know, I'm going to answer this question, this all-important question. How can a man be right with God or just with God? Did you know that only the answer to this question, only God can answer that, and the good news is he has. Because this is a question that man himself can't answer unless he knows what God has already said. And therefore, I'm going to show you what God has already said. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 13 says it like this. He that has the Son of God, the Son that's talking about Jesus Christ, has life or eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then it says, these things have I written unto you. In other words, the Bible was written for this purpose, that those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that they may know that they have eternal life, and that they may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so the Scripture tells us, the Scripture tells us how God says that we can be right with Him, and that is by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we can be right with God. We receive the gift of eternal life. We receive what the Bible calls being born again, being saved, or the gift of salvation. You see, salvation or being saved isn't I hope so. I hear that a lot. Well, I hope I am. It's not a maybe so. It's not a maybe so, and it's not I think so. It is a no-so salvation, and until it's that, you're not where God wants you to be yet. Because you have to have faith to know that He will do what He says, and you have to first know what He said He will do. He simply said, receive my Son, and you have eternal life. That's how a man can be right with God. This is what God said, not what man said. Going to church is right, but going to church can't save you. Just like I told a young man yesterday, I said, going to church don't make you a Christian. Then you driving your car into the garage makes you a car. It's important. It has a place, a very important place, but it can't save you alone. You have to know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. It is a no-so salvation. Knowing you have Jesus, you have made Him Lord. And here's how. Let me show you how that's done to leave you beyond a shadow of a doubt. Then we're going to pray. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here we go. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, many times people say, well, I do believe in God, but that's not what that said alone. It says you believe on the Son of God with your heart and you confess Him with your mouth. You confess Him. You call Him Lord. You call Him your Lord. You invite Him to be as you see. And it says, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness or being right with God. And with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means confession, your confession of the Lordship of Jesus results in your salvation. Verse 13. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And call there means you call him up. In other words, you invite him to be the Lord of your life. So I'm simply asking you, this is a time of spiritual reflection. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, would you allow me the privilege and the honor to pray for you so that you can have peace with God? I'm not talking about being water baptized. I'm talking about making Jesus the Lord of your life and having eternal security because you know that Jesus is your Lord. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing today. Father, we thank you for